Welcome to the Right Off the Bat podcast with Martin Rowe and Evander Lomke, a discussion on the amazing and infuriating, distinct and intertwined worlds of baseball and cricket, literature and life.
Well, welcome everybody. This is Martin Rowe.
And Evander Lomke.
And this is our fifth Right Off the Bat podcast. And today we are going to talk about an issue that is dear to the hearts and minds of cricket fans everywhere, especially the English, and that is the weather. What this podcast stems from is a blog that I wrote called When It Rains, It Bores on June the 27th, 2011, in which I lamented the fact that the Sri Lankan and England Test cricket series that had just finished had been heavily affected by rain, and that in fact 2,100 balls throughout the entire series had been lost because play wasn't possible because of all the rain.
Wow. And
that's a lot of balls. And when I say lost, it wasn't that they were just discovered somewhere underneath the stadium seating. It was that they were never delivered. They were never pitched or bowled by the bowler or pitcher at the batter or batsman. And as a result, all that entertainment was effectively lost. Now, cricket has created ways whereby games can be played in bad light because, like baseball, it has floodlights that can make the game possible when it's very dark. And also, in the shorter forms of the game, the one-day game or the 2020 game, a method has been developed called the Duckworth-Lewis method, the DL method, named after Mr. Duckworth and Mr. Lewis, who are statisticians and mathematicians, who came up with a way that people could work out what the target for the opposing team would be if there had been a full amount of play possible. So depending on how many balls are lost because of the rain, they can work out a new score for the team that is chasing the score that was created when the weather was fine to approach. And so they would change it. And it's been widely accepted as a fair way of representing ultimate scores and ultimate goals for the opposing team to reach. That's not available in a five-day game. You can't do that, which is what the test game is, the full-length form of the game of cricket. So in many cases, you just have to accept that the game won't have a result. It's what's called a draw, when no team wins, and you move on to another game in the schedule.
Well, that's sort of, you know, amazing. I have to say that the great enemy of baseball, likewise, is rain. The 1962 World Series between the New York Yankees and the San Francisco Giants was long, long delayed because of a lot of rain, specifically in San Francisco. And, you know, that was part of the whole thing of moving the major league franchises from cities where the weather was a little bit more predictable at certain times of the year, especially in the early fall, to places like the West Coast where it could be a little less predictable. There's nothing more depressing than being a fan at home and expecting a game and turning on the television set in those long ago days before cable, before the internet, and seeing that, lo and behold, the game wasn't on, but that you were watching rain out theater. This was a fact in baseball until about 1965, when the first dome stadium was opened, which was the Astrodome in Houston. And of course, that was billed as one of the great marvels of the world, and it certainly was. It was the idea was to play baseball indoors no matter what the weather. It gets to be a little counterintuitive. Since then, a number of dome stadiums, both permanent and retractable, have been built. And, you know, it gets to be a situation if you live in a city. Seattle has a retractable dome. Houston still has a dome, a different one, no longer the Astrodome, has a retractable dome. Any number of cities that do now. We look out the window, you look at the weather and say, oh, it's pouring today. Let's go to the game.
The question, of course, is asked, why wouldn't cricket have more enclosed domed areas? And cricket has been played indoors in a stadium on very few occasions. And as has been the case with baseball, the ball has been hit high in the air and has hit the roof. And a new form of scoring had to be given for that particular shot. Because, of course, if the ball hits the roof and then ricochets down and gets caught, that clearly isn't a fair way of getting out. So that has happened, but in general, the way cricket has responded to rain is simply to try and have more play when the light isn't good enough for normal play. So they have the floodlights. They have made it possible to start the day's play earlier and end it later in order to catch up with the number of balls that were lost because of rain. And this has made it possible to have results in cricket games, even though much play has been lost. Now, there are indoor cricket games. There is a whole set of rules surrounding playing cricket indoors in a more confined space. Fewer players are on the playing area. But like many forms of the game that are indoors, of course, the game itself changes because the ball bounces off the sides of the walls and you can either determine to catch it off a ricochet or you can create new rules, and that makes it a different game altogether, rather like tennis. Tennis, as we know, is played outside or within an open space, but the originating form of the game, real tennis, which actually means royal tennis, it's the old French form of the word royal, when it first was employed in the court of the Tudors in the early 16th century, was a game played in an indoor space where the ball bounced off the back walls. So rather like real tennis moving towards tennis, indoor cricket is a very different kind of game than the outdoor form of cricket. And I think most people would say that the very point of cricket is to have that open spaced experience, rather like baseball. The sun needs to be shining on the baseball field as it needs to be shining on the cricket field.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I should say that when the Astrodome opened, it had a translucent roof, and the idea was to plant real grass and to have the players playing on real grass with the sun coming in. There was just one problem. When balls were hit way up in the air into the girders, the players were losing sight of the ball as it was coming down, and they couldn't see a thing. So the solution to that was to paint some of the roof, which was a great idea, except for the fact that it started to kill the grass. And because of that, AstroTurf was developed. Now, there isn't a lot of difference between baseball played indoors and baseball played outdoors. The biggest exception would be the playing surface itself. Many of the domed stadiums, and then stadiums without domes, because the maintenance was a lot easier, through the 1960s, 70s, into the 1980s, went with AstroTurf fields. As far as I know, and I can think of, I think the Toronto's Rogers Centre, or whatever it's called now, originally the Sky Dome, is the only multi-purpose domed baseball stadium that still has AstroTurf. The stadiums with retractable domes, they can open the roof, and the grass grows very nicely, and they close it, and they go on with the play. So there's really not a heck of a difference in the way the game is played. Balls very rarely would hit the roof. Balls very rarely, occasionally they hit a girder, and you know there are special rules in certain of the ballparks. I think one like Toronto's I'm thinking of now, Tampa, which is an older dome stadium, it's a permanent dome, still plays on turf. And their girders are actually pretty low. So there have been some occasions where balls have hit the girders, and there are special rules about whether that's a home run, whether it's a double, whether it's an out. I'm not sure exactly how the ground rules work. My own introduction to indoor baseball was actually indoor softball, which I was playing in junior high school. We played inside a gymnasium. It was great because the season started in January, and of course we were itching to get back to playing some form of baseball, whether it was stickball, baseball, softball, punchball, whatever the variants would be. And we had these organized games inside the gym, as I said. And the rules were a little different from normal baseball. And somewhat like cricket, a lot of the strategy became very cricket-like. One, any ball, no matter how high or how far it was hit, that hits the ceiling, was an out. Two, any ball that hit off some gym equipment that fell then on a fly into a fielder's glove or mitts was an out. Three, any ball that was hit off a wall and caught on a fly was an out. Four, once the batter hit the ball, he couldn't just throw his bat, but he had to drop it onto a mat. So one had to sort of hold on to the bat a little bit longer than one normally does in baseball and running to first base. But all of that is very, very cricket-like. I mean, it suddenly became much more a game of strategy. It became much more a game of, you know, hitting between the fielders. Even though, unlike cricket, I mean, the sport was still right in front of us. And then the foul balls behind were still foul balls behind, although they were very rarely caught for obvious reasons. The idea was really to hit the ball on the ground where there were no fielders. and to carry your bat at least part of the way to first base and drop it very, very nicely on the mat. That was my introduction to indoor baseball, and it certainly had its moments.
Right. Well, most cricket, therefore, and baseball is still played outside, and the point is to have outside experience, because the weather is important in other ways, in especially in cricket, in that cloud cover or moistness in the atmosphere will make the ball move differently through the air than a cloudless day with low humidity. So in many ways, playing teams welcome weather, in other words, clouds or a thickness in the atmosphere. And because cricket is played in many countries where there is moistness in the atmosphere, whether it's because of the monsoon rains of its Indian subcontinent, or whether it's because of the tropical rains of the Caribbean, or it's just the rain of England, weather plays an important role in propelling the game forward. So, for instance, if there is cloud cover over the ground, the team that wins the toss, because unlike in baseball, where the opposing visiting team always bats first, a toss of the coin determines who gets to bat first or bowl first, or choose who bats first or bowls first. The captain who wins the toss may say to the opposing team, I want you to bat first because I've looked at the heavens and it looks as though the ball will move nicely through the air. So weather is a useful thing there. Now also it's useful in the preparation of the pitch. That's the area of ground that the ball bounces on when it's delivered from the bowler or pitcher to the batter or batsman at the other end. How the ball reacts when it hits on the pitch also depends on the preparation of that pitch before the game has been played, the 4 or 5 days that lead up to that particular match. If it's been very dry, then the pitch will act very dustily and dryly, and that will allow the ball to spin off the pitch in the hands of spinners, or these are pitchers who have a particularly slow delivery and allow the ball to rotate through the air and then bounce in a particular direction off the pitch. If it's been a lot of rain beforehand and the pitch is very green, that means when a fast bowler, a fast pitcher, somebody who uses a lot of pace on the ball, not only will the ball move through the air, possibly if it's cloudy, but once it hits the pitch, it will bounce in a particular way because the quality of grass that is on the pitch, because it's been rainy, will make the ball move off the pitch. Weather has an important role to play in the game before the game has even begun. Another feature that has been developed in order to allow games to be seen by more people, especially in the 5-day games, which often start during the week as opposed to being on the weekends, is what's called day-night games. With the use of floodlights and a different coloured ball, instead of a red ball, they would use a white ball like they do in baseball. You would have games starting halfway through the afternoon and going on into the evening. Technology now allows that to be possible because of the use of floodlights, etc. But it also means that people who play these games have to factor in that, of course, the thickness of the air may change halfway through the game. Because a game under floodlights is very different from a game played under natural light. Because the air is of a different density, it might be more moist because of a dew point that happens, especially in the Indian subcontinent, where the sun sets very quickly because it's nearer the equator, and you have or can have a sudden arrival of dew on the ground, which means that the ball gets wet, less easy to hold, the ball changes its trajectory through the air, and the game can suddenly change and be a very different kind of game than it was maybe a half hour beforehand. So all of these things make the game more interesting. So we're not lamenting the presence of moisture in the atmosphere. We're suggesting if only there were a way that would make it possible, like in baseball, to see games of cricket no matter what, it would make the game very attractive.
Well, you know, it's an interesting series of points that you made, Martin, about the manipulation of the ball and manipulation in general. It raises, in my mind, two different things. One is going back to that Astrodome way back 40, 50 years ago. One of the solutions that was suggested was, before the dome had been painted, was to actually use a different color baseball, which didn't sit too well with the fans. Baseball fans tend to be very traditionalist and very, very provincial. And, you know, any kind of change usually gets them going a little bit crazy. But it was actually a very sensible one. as I was thinking also about the whole concept of manipulation, you know, even within the confines of a dome, though, there have been instances where opposing teams, the visiting team, would complain about the fact that when they were up at bat, the home team would blow the air conditioning in a certain direction, namely in, which would keep the balls from going, obviously, in the air very, very far. And, you know, in terms of air circulation and whatnot, that was always it's a very subtle thing. It's a very big issue. It's a form of cheating. And it's come up more than once during the near 50-year history of dome baseball that one team was trying to manipulate the air currents. We're living in this age of global extremes and climate change and all of that. And since baseball, for the most part, is played during the summer, and thank goodness this is July 1st, we finally made it there. You know, thunderstorms, lightning, tornadoes are always a very, very big factor. I mean, thinking about, you know, these guys standing out in the field, I mean, they're literally lightning rods. And play in the rain in the summertime can be a very, very serious and very, very dangerous. Similar to cricket, I mean, one of the great true joys of baseball is to be able to be outdoors and not to say, hey, you know, I'm going to the game because it's pouring today. But one takes one's chance. I mean, you look at the weather forecast, you say, hey, you know what? You know, we got a 60% chance of a tornado today. What do we do? Well, let's go to the game. I mean, what the heck? What's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst can happen is, you know, 30,000 people might be killed. But let's hope we never get to a situation like that. There have been some very, very extreme situations with extreme weather where games have had to be halted. And when that happens, the grounds crew becomes heroic. I mean, it's their effort to keep at least the infield dry during a passing storm. 30 or 40 guys, you know, run out on the field and they get the tarpaulin, they put it on the infield and they try to keep things dry as best as possible. I mean, they're doing a very, very dangerous job.
Yes, hats off to the ground staff. They do an incredible job. And cricket grounds have become much more responsive to the concerns of removing water once it's landed on the outfield, in that the drainage systems are phenomenal now. And you can have buckets of rain falling, and within a few hours, maybe even 90 minutes, not only is the ground fully drained but ready for play. It's quite an extraordinary thing. I actually saw how Lord's Cricket Ground dealt with a total deluge about 3 years ago when India played England, and I saw whole puddles just vanish into the substrate of the ground, which was a mixture of sand and pebbles, in a way that I thought would never be possible for play to happen, and it did. The other aspect that makes baseball different from cricket is that the reason why players run from the pitch at the first drop of rain is not because they're particularly scared of being struck by lightning, but because the pitch, the central area where the game needs to be played, needs to be protected from any rain at all, because any rain that hits that area can dramatically change the nature of the pitch. It used to be the case 40 years ago that pitches remained uncovered, in other words, not have anything put upon them between days during the game being played. And if the heavens opened and poured vast amounts of water on this pitch and turned it into a mud bath, that was your tough luck, and the game would change overnight. Since the early 1970s, pitches have been covered, which has made games more predictable, but fairer. It also means that no rain can fall upon it, which is why players run from the pitch as soon as the first drop of rain falls, having been called off by the umpire. So there are differences, and in many ways, baseball players are hardier lots than cricket players, because they will play during rain. They will play during thunderstorms. Hats off to the ground staff of both games, who work very, very hard to make sure that the games are playable on grounds that are playable. So that's it for this week. We hope you've enjoyed our excursus and discursus on the weather. We are Martin Rowe
and Evander Lumpkin.
We're signing off. Please be sure to visit our website, rightoffthebatbook.com. Our book is now out and available from Amazon.com and various other retailers. Go into your local bookstore and order a copy today. So, signing off, may the ball always meet the middle of your bat and the ball arrive in the gloves with a satisfying thud.